Hallelujah. I just want to share a couple things with you about myself. Some of you I'd not met yet, but many of you I've known throughout the years with Armada and the Bible school there and teaching and preaching at the Abundant Life Center and also at in Lancaster as well from, what's your name of your church down there? Yeah, Church of the Word. It just went somewhere. Got it back. But, your brain's like a computer and you put so much stuff in that, it takes a while to bring it up a little bit. So, anyhow. But I've been in the ministry, I tell people, for about 72 years now. You say 72? Well, I began my ministry when my father and mother were attending Bible school. My mother said they used me as an example in the women's class to how to change diapers. I was the guinea pig. So I began my teaching ministry way back then.
This has done, y'all.
And I recently have retired from pastoring. I haven't retired from ministry, but from the position of pastoring. And it's been almost 2.5 years. I'm enjoying myself and traveling around. If you're my friend on Facebook, you see there's no moss grows underneath my feet. We're always doing something, going somewhere. It's a trouble when you marry a younger woman. They'll keep you younger. She had me on a 12-mile bicycle ride the other day. I was thinking, all right.
Nice.
But anyway, as long as I can do it, hallelujah, that's good. But life's been good, amen? And the church is doing well since Pastor Jonathan took over. And I call him my pastor now. And I get to preach once a month or sometimes twice when he's out of town and getting invited out of the places. So I'm still busy in the ministry, but I don't have the weight of pastoring. It's sort of nice. It's nice. If anybody's been a pastor, when you take the care of the churches, the Apostle Paul talked about, you care about your flock. And we see people that are not getting the word that should be getting the word and not there when they need to be there, when you have a message and they don't show up. That can be a little frustrating at times, but it's nice just getting back to the teaching aspect of my ministry. And we're sharing here on the subject of kingship. And we found out last night, in fact, go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I want to read this verse to you. I quoted it last night, but I want you to see it in your Bible. We are kings. We found out that we're to reign in life as kings. Amplified says in Romans chapter 5, I think it is, where it talks about us reigning in life by us receiving the free gift of righteousness and the grace of God. Here in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Again, we emphasize in the fact that we are a kingly priesthood. We all have the ministry of being priests. In other words, we stand before the people and God. We bring people to God, don't we? That should be our ministry. Everywhere we go, we should be standing in our priesthood ministry, standing as we mediate for bringing people to Jesus. The Lord recently moved me out of my comfort zone. I got involved with World War II reenactment. I'm a chaplain with our unit. And I get to preach to a whole bunch of unsaved people now and be around sinners. See, when you're a pastor, you're around Christians all the time. And when you get out, when you that are working in a workplace, you're around sinners. You hear all the language and everything else. I wasn't used to that. It took me a while to readjust. But God has been using me in that avenue where I get to preach to the unsaved and to share Jesus with them. And we're getting guys saved. It's neat.
Hallelujah.
Young men. Hallelujah. And like I said, it moved me out of my comfort zone because I'm more of a teacher than an evangelist, but now I'm doing the work of an evangelist as well.
Amen.
Amen. Didn't Paul say do the work of an evangelist? It's a work. So it's been good. It's been really great. And if you see a World War II event around your area, you have one coming up here at the Eisenhower Farm here in this month, and that's a good one at Gettysburg. That's a nice event if you want to come out to that one. Check out you'll see a chaplain flag here. We'll be there. We share about what chaplains did in World War II and a lot of information about that kind of thing. And then I get to preach every now and then when we hold chapel services. Then that's fun. In fact, fact, we were at Reading. You know, are you familiar with Reading, the air show at Reading, the big one every year? That's we had over 1,000 reenactors at that one. And I did the chapel service there. And all the officers came and they sat in the front row. You know, and officers have privilege. And I started off and I said, well, I'm not used to this, all these sinners sitting in the front like this. Everybody started clapping. So. Amen. But God will use you in different aspects of your life. Just, you know, the Lord told me to get a hobby, and then He directed me in this. I'm a Vietnam veteran. I wasn't in Vietnam, but I was all stateside. But I was in the Army. I played Army as a kid. I was in the Army, and now I'm playing Army again. So, and God's used me in that aspect. Amen. But we're a royal priesthood, a kingly priesthood. Let me get back my computer shut. I got to set this for stay on longer. He says, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That doesn't mean we're strangers. You know, some people, we've interpreted that, well, we got to be different. No, we're different in the sense of who we are, but we're not peculiar. There are some Christians that are peculiar. You get around charismatics, you know, there's some crazymatics and cruzomatics, I call them. Yeah. But we're to be a special people. Amen? Peculiar. That you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So, again, as we shine the light in the darkness of the world, God gets glory from our lives. And what I found out, again, much of evangelism is a one-to-one thing. You know, I know people get saved through television and other things, but a lot of people get saved through one-to-one evangelism. Yes. You inviting someone to church or you sharing Jesus with them, and they're watching your life. And I know I've been doing this reenactment thing about 10 years now, and it took a while for the guys to relate to me because, you know, I'm a minister, you know. But now they're warming up to me and they're going to come pouring their hearts out to me and want to know this Jesus I know. Amen. Amen. We want to call and get them out of the darkness. Amen. But that's, again, we are a royal priesthood. That's our priesthood ministry. But the kingly part of our ministry is, again, when we are taking authority and standing in the authority that God has delegated to us through the name of Jesus. And who we are in Christ. Amen. You need to find out who you are. Sometimes go through your Bible and look up at the words in Him and find out who you are in Him. And just the whole New Testament is full of phrases of who we are in Christ. And we need to study those things and find these things out so you will have that boldness. The righteous are as bold as lions, it says in Proverbs. Amen. We should not be ashamed of this gospel. And we can take authority over the power of the enemy. And I think I said this last night, many times we let the devil go too far. We say, oh, that's just the way it is. No, we need to start stopping him in the name of Jesus. We're like the policeman who stands on Route 81 and puts his hand up and the truck stops. We have the power or the authority of God behind us that'll stop the enemy. Amen. In fact, Matthew 16, I want to read this out of the Amplified. I gave it to you out of King James last night. And he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind, declare to be improper, I like that, and unlawful on earth, must be what is already bound in heaven, and whatever you loose or declare lawful on earth must be what is already loosed in heaven. That's our assignment, to go about declaring things lawful or unlawful. That's against the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. That sickness and disease in that person's body, that's against the law. That thing they're doing, that sin they're committing, that's against the law. And we need to make our declarations. Amen. And declare the word of the Lord is the truth. And say, stop it in the name of Jesus. In fact, you know, in the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, you're familiar with this? Pastor Jonathan has us pray about every service now. But it says, thy will be done in earth as it is done in heaven. See, we're to release the will of God on the earth. We talked about the sovereignty of God last night. He is sovereign, and in His sovereignty, He has ordained the laws of the Spirit.
Yes.
And, you know, like the law of sowing and reaping, for example. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. How many realize that's true? You sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. You sow to the Spirit, you reap life. Amen. You come into this weekend, you're sowing to the Spirit. You're going to reap some spiritual life from this. And there's many laws of the Spirit you'll find in the Bible. And when you do find out what these laws are, then we can start acting as the, you know, if you're a policeman and you don't know what the law is, you're not going to do much good out there on the street, are you?
Not much arrest speed.
But we have to say, in the name of the law, stop it. Amen. That's an old phrase. I guess we got that from television, didn't we?
Yes.
In the name of the law. Well, we can say in the name of the law of God, amen. We declare that unlawful, that disease working in your body. Or whatever it is you're declaring. And then in heaven, it's already declared as well. In fact, there's a verse in Hebrews 1:8. Go there with me. Hebrews 1:8. Hebrews 1:8 that'll tie in with what I'm saying here. He says, "But unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even Thy God, hath anointed Thee with the oil of gladness above Thy fellows." This is speaking of Jesus when He was raised from the dead. Amen.
Yes.
And the Father God pointed the scepter of righteousness at Him. If you study the old English court system, when the king pointed the scepter at you, whatever you said in that court of law became the law.
Yes.
It was written down. And that's what happened when Jesus, whatever now Jesus has spoken in His Word. And we know He spoke to us by the prophets in the Old Testament. Now He's speaking to us by the Word through Jesus. And the apostles wrote these words down for us. And we can come now and speak the Word. And that's like pointing the scepter at us.
Yes.
And we're declaring this is the law now. And heaven will back us up. Amen? Quite a responsibility, huh? You know, we as the church have left too much go. I mean, these shootings, mass shootings in school shouldn't be happening in our towns. We should be taking authority over those spirits and principalities and powers that are ruling in people's hearts and minds, putting a stop to it. Much of our praying is after it's already done, then we pray, Lord have mercy. But we should be standing against this stuff, not allowing it to happen. I know that may sound a little bit deep for some of us, but that's the kind of authority we've been given. And we'll stand accountable to God someday for what we allowed and what we didn't allow in our lives. Amen. I want him to hear him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." I don't want to hear him say, "Well, well, why didn't you do something about that situation?" Amen. But, you know, as we listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, He'll speak to us. He said He would show us things to come. Again, we can stop the stuff before it ever happens. I don't know if this is true or not. I'll just throw this in. I just saw this on YouTube the other day talking about all these mass shootings were done by young people that were going through the transgender thing. I don't know if that's true or not. I guess this last one was this kid was supposed to be going through transgender thing, and that messes up your mind. They don't think right. Are you?
Devils.
That's the work of the devil. It's principalities and powers that are influencing mankind to do that kind of stuff, and we need to stop it in our particular where God has assigned us to. You know, you have an assignment.
Yes.
You know, people just move all around the country and do whatever. Without ever asking God, it says in James, if you're going to move somewhere, you need to ask the Lord if it's His will. Maybe God don't want you over there. He wants you here. You ever think about that? We have an assignment. I know my assignment was Central Pennsylvania. And I'm still here. Hallelujah. And then when I was in Russia with Dale years ago, God gave me a little extra assignment to go to the nations that speak Russian. And I've been doing that for the last bunch of years, too, as well. I've made over 25 trips to Russia. Stayed in this guy's house one time over there in Moscow. Remember that night? You miss Moscow or not? That aspect of it. Yes and no. Moshe Bita. But you need to find out where God wants you to be. People hop from church to church. God wants you to be someplace where He can be you, a part of that thing. Mm-hmm. How did we get off on that? Wasn't in my notes. It must have been the Holy Spirit wanting to tell you that. But again, we want to have, we have that right now to take that. He's pointing the scepter at us. He's pointing that scepter at us. And what do we say? What do you declare? Are you agreeing with your circumstances? Or are you having that spirit of faith? You believe and you're speaking what God's word says. You know, I'm convinced this, the first symptom you get in your body will determine how you'll come out of that thing, what you say about it. People give license to it. I have diabetes. I have this. I have that. You got it. You signed it. Our words are powerful. Amen? Amen. You know what I'm talking about. You guys go to a faith church.
That's right.
Faith churches. Our words are spirit and their life. You just can't have diarrhea of the mouth. And just say anything you want. Expect God's word to work in your life. I'm very careful what I say. I think about what I'm going to say. Because my words carry power and authority as a king. Again, I'm a king in the kingdom. Small k. But I'm a king. Hallelujah. Amen. Again, we as a church, we need to declare God's sovereignty. How's that? Over this earth. Because we've been given it, we've been delegated to Jesus. We looked in Acts chapter 3 and verse 16. It said, they said, through faith in His name has made this man whole.
Yes.
Not because we're apostles or because we're something special. No, we just did what Jesus said to do. He said, go and in my name cast out devils. In my name heal the sick. And they were doing that. Faith in His name will heal you today. Amen. Will set you free. Philippians chapter 2, let's go there with me. Philippians chapter 2. Like I said last night, just flip over there with me. Philippians chapter 2. I like to, I can be very punny at times. Some of you didn't get it. That's okay. Philippians chapter 2. He says, let this, let's start here. In verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Now think about that statement itself. We're to think like Jesus thought. And what did He do? He went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed by the devil. He went about doing the will of the Father. He said, I don't do my will, I'm doing the will of my Father. That should be our mind, our mindset. How's that? That's how we should think. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things of heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That name is above every other name. You know, the word gospel, you're familiar with it, means, we say it means good news. It does mean that in its meaning, but it's, in biblical times, when a conquering general conquered a particular nation or whatever, and he would send heralds, or people that would go throughout the land. They didn't have media like we have nowadays, and they would announce to everybody that so-and-so has just won the battle. He's the new king. That's how you found out. He's in charge now. And you had to come along now and agree with that. That's what being born again is all about. We heard the good news that Jesus is now king. Hallelujah. He was raised from the dead. He sits at the right hand of the Father. And now when I come along, I confess, I agree that he's king. And actually, it was a military term. And if you didn't agree with the new leadership, you were in trouble. And I'll say this today. If you don't agree with that Jesus is Lord, you're in big trouble. Your destiny is hell. But thank God for Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Things in heaven, things in earth, and things even under the earth. All are subject now to the name of Jesus. We come along, we confess it. We say, I agree. The word confession means to agree with or say the same thing as. I agree that Jesus is Lord. I agree. Like I said, it could have been a Caesar that he was Lord, but he's no longer. That's why the Caesars of those days didn't like Christianity too much, because Christians were saying, Jesus is the king or Lord. That brought us some persecution. Amen. But he's got a great name because he attained it. In fact, in Hebrews 1, let's go there with me. If we're going to talk about kingship, we need to understand about the name, because it's all about the name.
It is.
Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, I think I want to go to. Chapter 1. I was in verse 8 earlier, but it's back up there on the same chapter. Verse 1, God, who at sundry times and other manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And we know how great angels are, amen? We know about Gabriel, we know about the other angels the Bible mentions by name, and they're great. Thank God for angels. How many of us believe you in angels? I believe in angels. In fact, this same chapter says they've all been sent to minister for us. Amen. I believe they'll keep me safe on the highway. I ride a motorcycle. People say, aren't you afraid? I said, no. I observe the laws of the land. Amen. And I have angels that go before me and behind me and around me. Amen. Someone said, can a preacher ride a motorcycle? I said, if he can balance it. They weren't thinking, they thought a preacher shouldn't be riding motorcycles. I don't know what for a reason, but we were with the Christian Motorcycle Association for many, many years, and it was a ministry reaching to the bikers. That's quite a world to get involved with. but anyhow, we need to reach out. These people need Jesus, amen?
Absolutely.
But how did I get off on that?
Gave him a better name.
A better name. Than angels themselves. And then he sat down. I like that he sat down. He's waiting, it says, for his enemies to be put under his feet. The last enemy to be put under his feet is what? Physical death. I think when we start raising the dead, the church starts raising the dead again. You know, they did that in the Bible, early church, they raised the dead. We start doing it again, we're getting real close to the end. I don't think people should die prematurely, early. Amen? I think we should live to be at least minimum of 70. That's what Moses begged God for in the Old Testament. We got a better covenant, better promises. He said at least 70 or 80.
Absolutely.
He says, with long life I'll satisfy you. I was meditating this one day, and the Lord said to me, you know, he said, everything I did was substitutionary for you. You know, by his stripes we were healed. He was forsaken by God, said, I'll never be forsaken. Yes. He said, I lived a short life so you could live a long life. Amen. I received that. Amen. Amen. I'm going to live long. I said, the devil tried to take me out a couple years ago, but I'm still here, still smiling. Amen. The word of God is true. Amen. Man, we went from angels to that. I don't know how we... Oh, I now was thinking about angels. They hearken unto the voice of the word of his commandments. You ever read that in Psalms? They listen for the word to be spoken. I don't command angels to do anything. I just speak the word. They hear the word and they do it. Amen? And I say, you know, that I live Psalm 91. Yeah, it's a good psalm, a lot of stuff in Psalm 91. Divine protection, amen. Free from pestilence, COVID, and everything else, amen. Diseases. Because I'm dwelling, it's all conditioned upon dwelling in the secret place. You understand that? It's not carte blanche. You gotta do the word. Dwell in the secret place of the Almighty, under his shadow. Man, there's all kind of good stuff in that realm. Divine, he'll give his angels charge over you. He'll pick you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Amen? That's why I feel I'm not afraid to ride a motorcycle. No dash of my feet against the macadam. Amen? Amen. Like I said, you need to obey the laws of the land, too. You understand that? Let me just throw the statistics out to you, motorcycles. Anybody else ride a motorcycle here? Yeah. Yeah. 90% of motorcycle accidents are because of alcohol. This is statistics, 90. You have another 7% that of motorcycle accidents are because of new drivers, unskilled, you know, learning. It's a whole different dimension when you ride a motorcycle. And the 3% of other accidents because of other drivers. So you have about, you know, that's why you need to be aware when you're driving. Keep your eyes open and what have you. So it's not as dangerous as it makes it sound. How do we get off on that? You'll go, now your wives are letting, just tell that to your wife. She'll let you go by a motorcycle. No, but I believe in divine protection. Amen? I've been in a couple of car accidents in my life and not hurt. Car damaged pretty bad, but not me. In fact, I always came out on a better deal. They get the insurance money, give me more money for a new car. I did all better. Amen. I'm not saying go wreck your car, but if you trust in God, he'll take care of you. Because we have the name of Jesus. All right, let me get back to my notes. I guess, thank God I have notes or I'd be off. Who knows where we'd wind up here. It also keeps me within a time frame, too, so that's good. Hold on here again. There we are. He hath by inheritance. He inherited that more excellent name. And he's now, again, we have that opportunity to use it. In fact, in John 17, go there with me, John 17. John 17. You guys are a blessing. I mean, I'm talking about Abundant Life Center for example. There's so many young men in that church. You're not getting, you're getting older now, but you're still, you know, there's a lot of men in the church, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing. And same way down in Lancaster. A lot of churches go, it's mostly women. It's nice to see men that are hungry for God and serving the Lord in these days. Amen. John 17, 5. Jesus is praying this. He's about to go to the cross and go through that what he was suffering. He says, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. No, he says, glorify me again with that glory. When Jesus stepped out of the realm of heaven, he humbled himself. We just read that in Hebrews, and found himself fashioned as a man. He did not do the works of healing people because he was God. He laid that aside and walked in the anointing. It says how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power. In fact, he got into the Word so much that by the time he was 12 years old, he was confounding the scribes and Pharisees in the temple. He got into the Word. He had the Word and he had the Spirit. And that's what we have now. We have the Word, we have the Spirit, and we got his name. Hallelujah. And we're to go and to do the works that he did. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Men get their great names by birth. I was thinking of, we mentioned a name. Our mind goes to certain. I said the term Rockefeller. Some of us older generation, we know the Rockefellers. They were the billionaires that run the country, pretty much. how would you like to have that name as a last name? Or Gates, or who? I think the guy did the Tesla. Who made the Tesla? Help me, quick.
Elon Musk.
How do you like that last name, Musk? But you can get your great name by birth, or you can get your name by great achievements, or you can get a great name by someone confirming that upon you. Jesus had all three.
Yes.
He had all three. By birth, he came from the Father, amen. The virgin birth. And we know that he achieved it by what he did at the cross. And the Father then confirmed it upon him. That every knee should bow now. And every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. In fact, Ephesians 1, 17. Let's go there. Ephesians 1, 17. We'll take a break here in a minute or so. Won't wake up, iPad. I love it when it's working. I finally had to buy a newer one. I had one, they first came out, you couldn't update it anymore, nothing. It got real bad. Ephesians 1:17. I like preaching from it because I can make the letters big. It's easier to read, and I can get there quicker than you can. And you're paging through your Bible. Verse 17, Paul's praying this for the church. How many are part of the church? Amen? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Again, knowledge of who? Jesus. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Again, he inherited. We need to find out what we've inherited now. If you got a letter from a lawyer said, so-and-so, Uncle George left you something in his will, would you just ignore it? No, you go show up at the meeting when they went and find out what you inherited. Every time I go to church and I hear the preaching of the word, I'm saying, Lord, show me what I've inherited.
Absolutely.
Remind me what I've inherited in Christ. And he says, your eyes of your understanding, again, that's your spiritual eyes. You have eyes in your spirit, man, that will see things of the spirit. We call it illumination. You're hearing the word and all of a sudden the lights come on.
Yes.
I never saw that verse before. Isn't that a great, I love that. I love that kind of experience when, I see it now. That's mine. Amen. I'm going to take that. I'm going to apply that in my life. It's going to change the way I've been living. Hallelujah. And that's what we are to find out, again, through the preaching and teaching of the Word. And Paul is praying for that. Again, Jesus is the head over all the names that are out there, and they must bow. Amen. Well, it's 10 o'clock. We'll take a little short little break. Amen? That went quick. The Word of God is quick.